auditorium, we've taken down the Christmas decorations, but we sang Christmas songs. And Dave shared a testimony on the uniqueness of Christmas. And so I'm not going to preach a Christmas message per se, though I do kind of want to kind of start there, so to speak. In my opinion, the Christmas season is a time that ought to very much stir our hearts with a renewed sense of gratitude to God. And for his amazing gift to us in the birth of Jesus, as Dave referenced, the unspeakable, the indescribable gift of the Son of God who came to save his people from their sins. You know, we have a couple holidays on our calendar. We have Thanksgiving, which is all about giving thanks. And Christmas, likewise, should prompt a spirit of gratefulness in our hearts. In keeping with Christmas traditions, most of us do some sort of gift giving, and hopefully along with that we do a certain measure of thanksgiving. You know, it's a time when, just kind of given the season and kind of the warm thoughts associated with it, maybe it's easier for us to be grateful than otherwise. And yet I think it's also easy for us to lose sight of the blessings that we have. I stumbled upon a story today that I actually used as a sermon illustration many, many years ago. And it was about a little girl, and she and her mom went down to one of those open-air markets in there looking at the different things, and the little girl kind of set her eyes on this big, carefully stacked pile of oranges. And the proprietor there saw this little girl seeing those oranges, and he gave her an orange. And the mom, understandably, kind of looked at the little girl and said, "Well, what do you say to the nice man?" And the little girl thought for a moment, held out the orange, and said, "Peel it." You'll get that, okay. Yeah, but, you know, sometimes we just kind of lose sight of the need to be thankful. And frankly, thankfulness doesn't come naturally. Little children have to learn it. Every good parent is continually telling them, "What do you say?" That standard reminder, encouraging our children to learn about being thankfulness. And what is kind of cute, humorous, in the maturity level of a four-year-old would be rude and ungrateful from an older child or an adult. And yet, folks, I think we fall into that trap of responding to God's gifts to us by thinking, "Well, this is nice, but I need something more. And I'm looking for something more." The first century BC Roman statesman and philosopher, a guy named Cicero, his full name is Marcus Tullius Cicero. You know you've arrived, I guess, when people refer to you with just a single name. But he once said, "Gratitude is not only the greatest of all virtues, but the parent of all others." Now, Cicero was far from a Christian, but there's some wisdom to that observation. And more recently than Cicero, still maybe 80 years or so ago, evangelist Bob Jones Sr. said, "When gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless." And sadly, folks, for many Christians, many professing Christians, if genuine gratitude is the measuring stick, then they are well nigh hopeless. Good observation. But let me make it a little bit more personal for us. I wonder how it is for you. Is your life characterized by gratitude, no matter the circumstances? Do you dwell on the hardships and disappointments, or do you reflect on God's goodness? We have so much for which to be thankful. So let's not be numbered among the hopeless, as Dr. Bob called them, but among the grateful. So with that in mind, the title of this message is Not Hopeless, but Grateful. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we're thankful for your word. And I pray that as we just conclude kind of this special time of giving and rejoicing in the gift of the Lord Jesus, the gift of salvation through his life, through his death, through his sacrifice, through his resurrection, I pray that you would just rekindle in our hearts a renewed sense of gratitude, appreciation, thankfulness. Father, might there be a genuineness to that gratitude, not just a politeness, not just a sense of duty or obligation, but a genuine, heartfelt stirring of soul where we reflect on what an amazing and wonderful God you are. and rejoice in the amazing and wonderful things that you have done for us, the things you have promised to us. Might we find satisfaction in it all, contentment, joy. And might we be people who indeed have gratitude alive in our hearts. Gratitude towards other people, yes, but especially gratitude to you. I pray you'd bless just in these few moments we spend in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me have you go ahead and turn to Ephesians 5. I'm just going to really quote a lot of very familiar verses this evening. I haven't made slides for all of them. But really, I just want us to be struck by the pervasiveness in the Word of God of appeals to us about the importance of gratitude, about the need to be thankful. And I think that's just a reflection of God's recognition of how unthankful we characteristically are, and we, by our own nature, are. And so, really, it's just important for us that we embrace that principle of being thankful, and not just thankful for, you know, particular discrete good things, though we should be thankful for them. But are you thankful no matter what? Are you thankful to God even in the midst of the COVID-19 environment in which we live? It seems like there are just complaints abounding about 2020. And what a rough year it has been. And I wonder, are you thankful even in this seemingly rough year? Are you thankful in the midst of maybe you're experiencing financial pressures? Are you thankful for the freedoms God has given to us in our nation, regardless of who won the recent election? Are you thankful in the face of physical infirmity? Or maybe the bereavement of a loved one? Are you thankful in face of those kinds of hardships? You know, circumstances like that can be difficult. But even when our circumstances are difficult, even when they're harsh, hard, we still have so much to be thankful for. And I want to remind you of a guy who you know of. And humanly speaking, he had many reasons to be, I suppose, discouraged and even bitter, but he wasn't. And he was at a particular time in prison. He would have known that the next footsteps he heard in the corridor could have been the guards coming to take him away to be executed. He had, over the course of his life, experienced all kinds of cruel beatings, harsh treatment, persecution from enemies, separation from friends, betrayal by other friends, all the while living a life committed to serving the Lord Jesus. And if ever somebody, I suppose, could be justified in complaining about the difficulties that had befallen him, it would be the Apostle Paul. And instead of complaints, his lips rang with words of praise and thanksgiving. And those things are characteristic in his writings, even in the midst of great adversity. And during his imprisonment in Rome, Paul wrote these words. We're in Ephesians 5. I'm going to start reading in verse 18. Paul says, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, be controlled by the Spirit of God, by the Holy Spirit." Verse 19, "Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord." And then look at verse 20, "giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." So look at what Paul says there. Always giving thanks for everything. Giving thanks always in all things, no matter what. Now, Thanksgiving for the Apostle Paul wasn't a holiday in November or an annual Christmas season, but a daily reality that frankly changed his life and made him a joyful person in every situation. And so this idea of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God for all his blessings, really should be one of the most distinctive marks of believers. And sadly, there are among us as believers, far too many of us, and all of us far too often, we're just allow a spirit of ingratitude, frustration, disappointment, to kind of harden our hearts and chill our relationship with God and others. And Dr. Bob's quote, his suggestion was that nothing turns someone into a bitter, selfish, dissatisfied person more quickly than an ungrateful heart. And conversely, I would say that nothing will do more to restore contentment and the joy of our salvation than cultivating a spirit of true thankfulness. You know, in the ancient world, leprosy was a common and terrible disease. And it was one that disfigured people, ultimately led to the shutdown of their organs and death. And essentially, as soon as they were diagnosed, so to speak, it cut them off from normal society. And I would suggest that without exception, every leper yearned for one thing: to be healed of their leprosy. And in Luke chapter 17, there's a familiar account there where we read of a day when 10 lepers approached Jesus outside of a village. This isn't a parable. There were certain lepers. This is a case where there were some lepers who, despite the mandates of the Old Testament law to kind of isolate themselves, at least found comfort and consolation in gathering together. And there's the 10 of them, and apparently they're traveling around, kind of staying clear of polite society. But they heard about Jesus, and they approached Jesus outside a village. And to their credit, they recognized the desperateness of their situation and their need and their inability to fix things for themselves. And they recognized Jesus as someone who could deliver them, and they humbly cast themselves on his mercy, unashamedly pleading with him to heal them. And he tells them, well, go show yourselves to the priest. That's what the Jews had to do. If you believed you had leprosy or any sort of a skin disease, in order to be able to re-engage in society, be involved in temple worship, those kinds of things, you need to be evaluated. And the Old Testament law gives very distinct provisions about that, by the priests and declared clean vis-a-vis unclean. And so Jesus tells them, go show yourselves to the priest. In other words, what he's saying is, go have the priest evaluate that you're clean. So there was some measure, an act of faith on their part. It's kind of like Naaman who had to wash in the Jordan River, right? They had to go and head towards the priest before they actually saw the cleansing happen. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, upon recognizing that he had been cleansed, interestingly enough, it was a Samaritan, in God's providence, he was the one that came back to Jesus and cast himself before the Lord in gratitude and in thankfulness for what Jesus had done for him. The other 9 didn't come back. Jesus asked the one, he said, weren't there 10 that were cleansed? What happened to the other 9? Of course, he knew. I've often speculated on what happened to those other 9, Some of them just probably out of sheer excitement ran off to show their families. I mean, who knows what their thinking was? And these aren't necessarily portrayed to us as heathen men. They came to Jesus and cast themselves at his feet and cried out to him for his mercy, believing that he could heal them. And yet, upon experiencing what to them had to have been the greatest miracle, in terms of physical healing that they had ever experienced, had ever seen in their lives, 9 of them couldn't be bothered to come back and seek him out and express their thankfulness. They were gripped with, I might suggest, just a spirit of selfish ingratitude. And folks, sad to say, I think that is just so common in our own sinful hearts, common amongst God's people. We just have this sense of, being so focused on ourselves and of such a mind that we deserve some blessing, that when we experience it, we don't always pause to give God glory and give God thanks. And we see that in the world at large. Children don't thank their parents for what they do. Common courtesy is often scorned. We take for granted others' help and ministry in our lives, and above all, we fail to thank God for his goodness. And I just want to say that ingratitude is a sin. In fact, in Romans chapter 1, one of the Bible's indictments against rebellious humanity is where Paul says, this is Romans 1:21, and he's describing the attitude of the ungodly, and he says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. Of all the things that could be described about this rebellion against God, one of the things that Paul, under inspiration of the Spirit of God, chooses to highlight is unthankfulness. An ungrateful heart is a heart that is cold toward God, indifferent to His mercy and love. It's a heart that has somehow forgotten how dependent we are on God for everything. You ever experience that when you're really struggling and you're painfully aware of your own inabilities and God in some way changes things and things become better, and all of a sudden you kind of lose sight of the desperation of your need because it's kind of passed behind you. We kind of lose sight of how desperately we need God's ministry in our lives in every way, not just maybe that one or two particularly acute things that we've asked Him for. So from the beginning of the Bible to the end, you know, there are reminders, there are commands, there are encouragements to us about thankfulness. In Psalm 147:7, the psalmist says, "Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving." In Colossians 3:15, Paul says, "Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful." A couple verses later, Colossians 3:17, he adds, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." So a spirit of thanksgiving is one of the hallmarks of a joyous Christian. And folks, it's just one of those things that God lays out in His word as being so important. God has blessed us in so many ways. And one of the ways that we live lives of faith and dependence on Him is by acknowledging those blessings and not acknowledging our need for Him, His care for us, acknowledging His sovereign control in everything, even when we're experiencing unpleasant things. So what I want to do in our remaining time tonight is just make five simple appeals about being thankful. You could come up with these five and probably five others on your own. Nothing profound here. Some things that we already know, but it never hurts to be reminded. So here's the first of them. Thank God for the material blessings that He gives you. You know, we never seem to be satisfied with what we have. Rich or poor, healthy or sick, you know, we always feel that we need something more. But it makes such a difference when we recognize that everything we have has been given to us by God. In 1 Chronicles 29, we find a prayer from the lips of King David. He says, "Both riches and honor come of Thee. Now therefore, our God, we thank Thee and praise Thy glorious name, for all things come of Thee." Folks, everything you have is from God's hand. I always chuckle when people view like the concept of tithing as giving God 10% of what's mine. It's not what it is at all. It's giving God back 10% of the abundance that He has bestowed upon us. It's just a reflection of our acknowledgement that, you know what, it's all from Him. And we ought to be thankful for that. Every time you get a paycheck, you ought to be thankful. Every time God provides for you in some even minuscule way, you ought to be thankful. You ought to be thankful for the things that you possess. You ought to be thankful for the longevity of the things that you possess. I am regularly reminded to give thanks to God for the HVAC systems in this church. You know, we have something like 27 heating and air conditioning units in this building, and all of them are 40-some years old. And they still run. You know, yeah, we pay contractors a little bit to fix them, but let me tell you, they owe us nothing. And you know, they're long past their life expectancy. And God keeps them going and provides for us to fix the little things that we need to along the way. But, you know, sometimes we take that kind of stuff for granted. And it would be easy to say, man, we got all this old equipment, you know. And, you know, rather than saying, what an amazing thing. All this old equipment, it's like those old Timex commercials. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking, right? Our HVAC units, they just keep running. It's comfortable in here tonight. You know, it's comfortable in our building. It's God's blessing. And folks, we need to identify specific areas where God has provided for us and thank Him for it and see the benefits and see those blessings. You know, I think we all understand that possessions don't lead to happiness. And in themselves, they don't necessarily produce gratitude either. I mean, most of us know people that are really, to our way of thinking about it, almost unimaginably wealthy, and they aren't very happy, and they surely aren't thankful. And I think most of us know people who, in the standards of the world, are very, very impoverished, and yet are happy, and are thankful for the meager things that they have by you know, societal standards. Because gratitude is about an attitude. It's about a heart, a spirit of heart. It's not about the stuff. And it's about choosing to be thankful for what God has done for us. In Philippians 4:11, Paul says, "Not that I speak in respect of want." He's commending the Philippians for giving and ministering to some of his needs. But he says, "I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content." If I'm abased, if I'm abound, if I have lots of stuff at a particular moment, if I lose it all, I have learned that I need to have a spirit of gratitude, because it's not about the particulars of the stuff. It's about a heartfelt spirit of realizing I can trust God. And God has met my needs. And God has cared for me. And I can express that thankfulness to Him. Spirit of thankfulness makes all the difference. Number two, thank God for the people in your life. It's easy to take people for granted, even to complain about them, become frustrated with them, even angry because they don't meet our expectations, our desires. You know, imagine a woman who tells you how fortunate she is to have a kind, considerate husband, and then spends the next 10 minutes identifying all his faults. You know, or a husband who does likewise with regards to his wife. How many marriages and other relationships grow cold and eventually break down because of the sin of ingratitude? Folks, I wonder, do you let others know that you appreciate them, that you're thankful for them? You know, the Christians in Corinth were far from perfect. I think anybody who reads the Corinthian epistles would recognize that. But Paul began his first letter to them by saying, "I thank my God always on your behalf." And that was really the kind of a common refrain in nearly all of his epistles. Philippians 1:3, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you." In Acts 28, when a group of believers that Paul had never met came out to greet him as he approached Rome, he said that he thanked God and took encouragement just upon meeting them. Folks, thank God for the people he has put in your life. Dwell on the benefits, the blessings. Yes, some people are harder to like than others, okay? Some people maybe don't treat you well, but there are so many people that God has put in your life that are a blessing to you if you'll just step back and think about it for a moment. And we ought to thank God for that. Number three, thank God for trials, hardships, and even persecution. Now, there's a difference between being thankful for the challenges God brings into your life and wishing for them, okay? I'm not saying that we should just cry out to God and say, "Please, God, you know, strike me with this infirmity," or whatever. That's never the point of Scripture. But it is to realize that whatever God does allow, God has perfect reasons for doing it. He has a way that He wants to use that to draw you closer to Himself. Perhaps He wants to use that to enable you to have a certain avenue of ministry that you might otherwise not have. You know, God's ways are beyond ours, but we need to be thankful for those trials, both for the opportunities that they may bring and the way that they can be used by God to build growth in our hearts. You know, when you're faced with trials, you can either complain and let it push you away from God, or you can be content and thankful and let God use it to draw you closer to Himself. James says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." In Daniel chapter 6, when the prophet Daniel learned that evil men were plotting against him and they were trying to undermine him and even destroy him, Daniel 6:10 tells us that he prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, just as he always did. His circumstances did not affect his thankfulness. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 commands, "In everything give thanks," not unlike our text, "for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." So, folks, I don't know what trials you might be facing right now, but God does. And He loves you. And He is with you by His Spirit. And he wants you to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness even in the midst of those trials. Number four, thank God especially for his son and the salvation that he gives. Brother Bob alluded to this when he opened in prayer about the gift, you know, the unspeakable gift, the gift of salvation that we receive, that we remember in particular at Christmas time. 2 Corinthians 9:15 says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable, indescribable gift. The greatest gift of all ever given is the gift of Jesus and the salvation that he brings. The Bible tells us that we need that salvation. And whether you're here in our auditorium, it's a cold, kind of a hard evening out, so not a lot of us here. I hope there's lots of you at home listening and taking this in. But maybe there's somebody listening and you have never turned to the Lord Jesus in saving faith. As you listened to Brother Dave's testimony earlier, there was just a real reminder there of why Jesus came. And he came to save his people from their sins. As Dave quoted, John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And I trust that you have received that gift from God. If you haven't, I would encourage you to turn to the Lord Jesus right now. You know, confess your need. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and thou shalt be saved. And for those of us that have trusted Jesus, we have been born again to be people who would be thankful, grateful, excited, stirred to think of what God has done for us. One more and then we'll be through. Thank God for his continued presence and power in your life. And when you trust Christ as your Savior, you are saved in that instant, in that moment. You know, you're justified once and for all. But that's not kind of the end of the whole thing of salvation. There is then from there that pathway of growth where we are born again as babes in Christ and we go forward in the power of the Spirit of God, which from that moment forth indwells us. In Philippians, we studied this, verse 13 of chapter 2. God works in you both will and to do of his good pleasure. You think of the commission that Jesus gave to his followers that were with him and to us at the end of Matthew's gospel, where he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then he ends with this assurance, and lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. You know, God empowers us. God enables us. God ministers to us and through us. The Spirit of God indwells us. The Spirit of Christ lives within us. Those are things that the Scripture makes very, very clear for us when we come to Christ. And so God continues to do amazing things in our lives. If you're a believer, you should be thankful that God promises never to leave you on your own. You know, oftentimes when we go through times, let's say, of bereavement, or when people are suffering in particularly harsh and acute ways, you know, my wife and I think I've probably commented this, and some of you have commented to me about, you know, how do people who don't know the Lord, how do they deal with this? How do they deal with the loss of a little child? How do they deal with the kind of pain and suffering associated sometimes with just working your way through the ravages of cancer? How do people deal with that seemingly alone, spiritually alone? We have the Spirit of God with us every moment through whatever he brings. His presence is there. His power is there. You know, I wonder, folks, when you experience those hard times, do you reflect on the hardness of the circumstances? Or do you reflect on God's goodness and care and presence with you? Just like I said before, gratitude, thankfulness is about an attitude, about a spirit, not about circumstances. So just kind of, you know, wrapping all these five things, the question is, are we going to be driven by our circumstances? Or are we going to be thankful that we know a God who loves us so? That we have a God who cares for us? a God that sees the bigger picture, a God who has grand and glorious plans for us for all eternity. If we will get our focus there, then we will be thankful people. Let's not be like that little girl who kind of lost sight of the orange because of the peel. You know, we tend to sometimes lose sight of God's blessings because of the circumstances that surround us. And yet God is there, and he can be trusted. Thanksgiving, Christmas, no doubt those are times where we focus especially on thankfulness. But the truth is, for us as believers in Christ, every day can and should be a Thanksgiving day, as we give thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I hope that by God's grace that describes you. And if it doesn't, you know, look to God now and ask him to take away any bitterness. Ask him to adjust your perspective. Ask him to give you the spirit of true gratitude. One of the most significant changes that Jesus wants to make in our hearts and our lives is to transform us into people who are continually grateful. Now, if you're into New Year's resolutions, you know, maybe you are, maybe you aren't. But you know, if you're looking for something to remind yourself of, to put before yourself as you move into this new year, maybe it's just asking God, help me to be a more grateful Christian. Help me to get my focus on all that God has done rather than complaining about what I feel God hasn't done. And I think that as you do that, as you allow God to do that, because that's what you desire, that's what you're willing to do, it can really transform your walk with Christ and really make you a much more joyful and much more powerful, influential Christian as you seek to minister to others. Father, we're thankful for your word, and we're thankful for salvation. We're thankful for your blessings in all kinds of different ways. And I do ask that you would help us to be a more grateful people. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. All right, if you need